Welcome to Pete and Hannah's Watchlist. I'm your host, Pete Mitchell. I'm here with my great co-host,
Hannah!
Hello, people.
Hannah?
Yes.
We're here today for AFI Top 100 10-Year Revisited.
That's correct.
But before we begin, let us tell the viewers and listeners what they should do.
Could you pretty please leave a like and subscribe to the channel?
Subscribe.
Leave a comment down below, your feedback on this show, thoughts, feelings, criticisms, all that jazz, welcomed.
Hit the notification button and you'll get great content like this one.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Including.
Really? What else?
AFI Top 100?
Yes.
About to do that. What's next?
Mm-hmm.
Movie news?
Movie news.
Previews and...
No. Reviews. No jazz content.
No jazz content. Also, draft coming up in early February. The year 2015.
Yep.
Danny will be here. So that should be fun.
It was 10 years ago.
Great work, Hen. You're always on the ball. Hen, today is 10-year revisited. It's AFI Top 100, and it's movie number 42.
Yeah. Yep.
And it is Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Have you seen this one before?
No.
I have seen this one many times. Did you know much of Bonnie and Clyde?
I know the
character. The Simpsons.
Simpsons, but also just like they are,
tourists.
Robbers in history, like here it's a Ned Kelly. And so everyone has that tale, famous robbers.
Robin Hood.
Yeah, isn't he fictional?
No, he's real.
Tara Egerton. Or Kevin Costner.
No,
oh yeah.
No, Robin Hood's real.
Oh yeah, I believe.
Robin Hood's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, Robin Hood and the Merry Men. Yeah, that's real.
Oh, Cary Elles. Cary Elles.
Yeah, Robin Hood Men in Tights. That's not true. the elevator pitch for this movie. We follow Bonnie and Clyde from the time they meet until they become well-known bank robbers.
Mm.
Maker Studio was Warner Brothers Studio, and it was released on August 13th, 1967. It goes for 111 minutes, and we watched it on a little streaming service called SBS On Demand.
Yeah.
It's actually quite good. And it's free.
It's free, yeah.
It's got ad support.
They like to put world channel movies and
some great movies
cinema.
Yeah. Great movies.
So, yeah.
It's only available in Australia. In the States, it's available on HBO Max.
Oh, because it's...
Warner Brothers title.
Yeah.
The budget for this movie was $2.5 million. It was based on a true story. It's a sort of glorified true story. This film was intended as a romantic comedy version of the violent gangster films of the 1930s.
Making sense, yeah.
Updated with modern film making techniques, Arthur Penn, the director, portrayed some of the violent scenes with a comic tone, sometimes reminiscent of Keystone Cops slapstick.
Yeah.
But it was mixed in with the new French New Wave director's influence, which had the rapid shifts of tone, the choppy editing.
Yeah, and the
closing sequence.
I feel that, yeah. That makes sense.
Soon after, they were trying to get French film bros of the time, the big new wave cinema guys, Truffaut and Godard.
Mm.
They were trying to get them to do the movie, right? But... The Warner Brothers failed, so Warren Beatty knew this. So he went. He was visiting Paris, and he leaned on Truffaut for the project and its path. On returning to Hollywood, Beatty requested to see the script and bought the rights. After a meeting with Godard was not productive, Beatty was able to get the rights and get an American director. He talked to George Stevens, William Wyler, John Schlesinger, Brian G. Hutton, Sidney Pollack, but he ended up being able to convince Arthur because of the percentage that he got. Jack Warner did not like any of this. He didn't want to do this, right?
Oh, yeah.
But Warren Beatty convinced him to do this. He would cut his fee because Warren Beatty was a big star. He'd come from Splendor in the Grass. He was a big star. Convinced him, okay, I will cut my fee for 40% of the movie. He gave 10% of that to Arthur Penn.
Wow.
And that's how he got him onto the board.
Wow. Okay.
Originally, Beatty wanted the movie shot in black and white. Jack Warner goes, no way.
No way.
It's not happening.
The movie was written by David Newman and Richard Benton, right? And with some polishing from Robert Towne, who was a friend of Warren Beatty's. Robert Towne did Man from U.N.C.L.E. He also did McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
Yeah.
And he did Chinatown.
And he was also the writer of the first two Mission Impossible movies.
Wow.
He was a big... Wow. He worked with Tom Cruise a lot. Did The Firm.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's good. I like that.
So
that's
David funny. Newman, he wrote Bad Company.
Mm.
He also wrote
Superman 1 to 3.
Wow.
And he wrote a little movie called Santa Claus, or as you like to call it, Santa Claus. Christmas
2.
Great, John Lithgow.
Wow.
Dudley Moore.
That's hilarious.
Richard Benton, he wrote Kramer versus Kramer and Places of the Heart. And he also helped with Superman.
Wait, these are great. These are actually great.
Now, the original story was that they were going to focus on the fact that Clyde was a bisexual. But either in the research of this, and there was like in the commentary, it was said that it was...
I just wouldn't play
Warner was against it. Yeah. But there was a rumor going around that Beatty was against it too. Because he was a known ladies man.
Interesting.
So, yeah. It's hard to knock down, you know. Arthur Penn, he was against the bisexual nature as well. He changed a couple of things in the script, and we'll talk that as we go through. He was known for, he directed Little Big Man, Alice's Restaurant, Night Moves, which is a great little movie. Beatty, which did Splendor in the Grass,
he came along with the movie. There was talk that Shirley MacLaine was going to be Bonnie, but once Beatty got himself as a role, it couldn't be Shirley because they're brother and sister.
Yeah, that's weird.
Faye Dunaway was thinking...
Jane Fonda auditioned for the role and hated the fact that Faye Dunaway got this role.
Oh,
Ian Margaret, Sharon Tate, Lizzie Curran, Carol Lynn, all audition for the role in research. Supposedly, Beatty was dating Natalie Wood at the time, and he wanted Natalie Wood to be
interesting.
The Bonnie, but that'd she be... declined.
Yeah, that's a different.
Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty. I don't know if this is believable, but they made a pact that they weren't going to sleep together.
They weren't.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know if I believe that.
I don't know.
So you got Warren Beatty, you got Faye Dunaway, you got Michael J. Pollard, who played CW. You got Gene Hackman, who played Buck.
Oh, yeah.
You got Estelle Parsons, who played Blanche.
This was her first movie role. She'd done television, but she
hadn't
done a movie before. And also first role for Gene Wilder.
Oh, my God.
He played the Undertaker, Eugene Grizzard. Reaction to this film at the time. So, when Arthur Penn and Warren Beatty show Jack Warner the first cut of this movie, Warner did everything not to watch it. He left the room, came back. He just didn't
hated it. Yeah.
He did everything he could not to promote it. He said that it was going to be a B picture / drive-in.
I see.
He ended up selling the studio to Seven Arts Productions. He would have dumped the film, but they sort of said, oh, we'll give it a little bit of a...
We'll
give it a try. He had recently triumphed in a six-day war with Warner and was feeling defiant to sell any of the studio's films. So basically, out of spite, because Warner hated this movie, they released this movie.
I love it. No, I love the pettiness of it. I love Warner he had a vendetta with this movie.
So there was Jack Warner and Warren Beatty were like fighting, and they were like staring out the window. I don't know if this story is true, but this is like sort of like in the research, this came up a couple of times. And Jack Warner goes, "Hey, look on the top of that water tower, WB, it's my name." And then Warren Beatty came back straight away and said, WB, that's Warren Beatty. It's my studio. I don't know if that's true. But
I don't think that...
All time.
It sounds, though, the funniest thing.
Have you watched many Warren Beatty movies?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think we get another one on his list, but a couple of my favourites are... Well, Bullworth is a funny movie where he's a white senator that goes missing and ends up going to like a
the ghettos, black ghettos.
Okay.
And becomes indoctrinated in there. He's sort of got, I think he's a brain tumor or he's like something like that.
Win. So,
Halle Berry's in that movie. Heaven Can Wait, great movie. Jack Warden, Julie Christie, who he stars in with McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
Yep, yeah, yeah.
Shampoo, great movie. Reds, where he directed Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Best Picture. Yeah, so Bugsy, Dick Tracy. You're a big fan of Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy, yeah.
Yeah, he, a legend, an absolute legend.
Yeah.
Faye Dunaway, I don't think we'll see her again. No, we will see her again, Chinatown.
Oh, okay.
She was the it girl. She went after this movie.
Yeah.
She did movie after movie after movie. Like,
I think she's
Mummy Dearest.
Yeah, she's
Before she did this movie, she did The Happening. She did Thomas Crown Affair the next year after this movie. Chinatown, just an all-time classic. She's just like, she's still churning out roles.
Yeah.
Yeah, up until now.
But I will say, she's like the best part of this movie.
Oh, she's so attractive.
She's holding it. She's really holding this together.
The box office of this movie was $70 million. It was a sleep hit. The film was not expected to form well at all. We've already talked about that. But due to underground marketing, it was a sleepy hit by the year's end.
Yep.
It continued to perform well in 1968 as well. And it was only behind My Fair Lady in the next year.
Love that movie.
For the amount of money it turned out as well. The highest grossing movies of 1967. So you got Camelot at number 10, The Jungle Book, Disney movie, number 9.
Yep.
Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Oh, yeah.
Number 8. You Only Live Twice, James Bond movie.
Mm.
Number 7. To Sir With Love.
One of the best movies.
Valley of Dolls. That's a weird movie.
Yep.
The Dirty Dozen at number 4.
Oh, yeah.
Lee Marvin, your boy. Number 3 was Bonnie and Clyde. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Guess. Oh, Sydney Poitier.
And The Graduate, which we're going to see, which starred Dustin Hoffman, which you've had on the list before twice.
How many? Yeah.
And directed by Mike Nichols.
Yeah,
so they were the top grossing movies in 1967.
Sydney Poitier.
This film was controversial. At the time of release, it was apparent for the glorification of murders and a level of graphic violence, which was unappreciated.
I guess at the time,
At the time.
Yeah.
We had come off the heavy censorship. It's surprised this movie got through.
And this is a gangster movie where you're rooting for the villains.
It's a cheap piece of bold-faced slapstick comedy that threatens the hiddenness, sleaziness, moronic pair as they were full of fun and frolic as the jazz age. Thoroughly Modern Millie. This is Bosley Crowther's review in the New York Times. He was appalled that he began a campaign against it to the increasing brutality of American films. Mate, it got worse. David Kaufman of Variety criticized the film for the uneven direction and for portraying Bonnie and Clyde as a bumbling, moronic types, which people weren't happy with, like the romance sort of thing of these two.
It
wasn't a true story.
Yeah.
Joe Mergelson of Newsweek initially panned the film as a squalid shoot 'em up moron trade. But after seeing it in a second time and noting the enthusiastic audience, he wrote a second article saying he had misjudged the movie and had praised it. Warner Brothers took advantage of this and marketing it.
That's what I was saying. It was underground marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Changing it to a B film to a major critical success.
Interesting.
The recreation of the reality of Bonnie and Clyde can only be described as dishonest. One critic. Neither Faye Dunaway nor Warren Beatty acts in a proper 30s mode, nor do they seem to understand the feelings of the underprivileged. The actress Willery Modern Charm is no more appropriate to the lethal serpentine coldness of the real Bonnie Parker than the actor's sensitive matinee looks and the right style of shoddy vanity of Clyde Barrow. This is a film historian Charles Hyman in The Art of American Film, 1900 to 1971,
which was written in 1973. But you know who the person that really turned the public into the favourite of Bonnie Clyde?
Who?
Pauline Kael, our favourite.
Really?
She went to write for a magazine couldn't get it published, went to the New Yorker, they published it, and then she became the New Yorker critic.
Oh, wow.
So she became a New Yorker critic.
Interesting.
She From this... was a huge fan of this movie.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Someone batting for it. I love it.
Awards was nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor for Gene Hackman, and Michael J. Pollard. So many times you get movies back, especially back in there, you get two nominees. Best Supporting Actress end up being Estelle Parsons ended up winning.
Interesting.
Best Story and Screenplay was nominated. Best Cinematography was nominated, and it won for Bernard Guffey and Best Costume Design. Bernard Guffey, an Oscar winner from Here to Eternity, had frequent arguments with Penn on set over his radical shooting style. Ironically, Guffey ended up winning an Academy Award, and Penn did not.
Okay.
So it was up against In the Heat of the Night for Best Picture. Ended up winning. Mike Nichols ended up winning for The Graduate.
Yep.
Rod Steiger won Best Actor. Katharine Hepburn won for Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Of course.
We agree with those.
Yeah. 100%.
Best Supporting Actor went for George Kennedy in Cool Hand Luke, which is a great performance. And look, I was surprised actually Estelle Parsons actually won for a real reason. Catherine Ross for The Graduate. She probably would have deserved it. In the Heat of the Night, end up winning for Based on Material. Original screenplay went to
Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which beats
Bonnie and Clyde as well. Reaction to this film recently. Rotten Tomatoes, 90. Letterboxd, 3.9. And IMDb, 7.7.
Every Thursday on Movie News, we do a segment called Clickbait.
Hoo-ha.
Last week, it was you, Hannah, talking about how marketing campaigns have got huge, and they go for longer and longer and longer.
Yeah, and they're becoming annoying.
Are they becoming annoying? Hannah, your clickbait for this movie is?
My clickbait is great idea, boring execution of said idea. I found this movie to be quite...
You know, we haven't had a disagreement for a while on this, but we're going to disagree. I love this movie.
We're on different planes. It could stem from like two factors for me, whereas I didn't watch this movie at a young age or anything. I've only just watched it now. And I've seen the whole, you know, running from the cops, you know, type of films before. And there's so many more interesting versions of that. Even on this list, we had Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Very similar. Very similar. And that was more entertaining. Mm-hmm. More fun. But also more interesting. And you like, they're villains, but you're, like, rooting for them because they're really nice guys. Whereas this, like, Bonnie and Clyde, it's, like, the most interesting parts of this movie for me were when you're recreating the shots that were in the famous photographs in history.
Yep.
But that's it. Like, the rest of the movie, like, these characters are just annoying or, again, bumbling fools, and but not in a fun way. Like, I'm rooting for them. Like, I didn't care. The action in this movie is, to me, quite boring. Like, the shootouts and everything, it just felt like, oh, okay, there's better versions of this somewhere else. This movie isn't, it just doesn't hold up for me. And then another thing is that it feels like a boring biopic movie at times, even though it's not accurate because they don't know, what actually happened between these two. It just felt like played by the numbers, like we're just going through until we finally finish with the ending, the ending, first part, because it's over.
Nah, I disagree.
It's just boring.
This movie, at the time, was groundbreaking. It had many different elements. I like the comedy sort of bits. Like, most of the time, crooks are, you know, bumbling.
Yeah, but it wasn't that funny.
Oh, I found it funny.
I found the funniest was Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
He shows up.
Gene Wilder was great.
He made me laugh, but like, and then just he left.
Like, when,
I just found it
when they, one of the first bank robberies, the bank was,
it was foreclosed. Yeah, didn't have anything.
Michael J. Pollard parked their car in, just like little stuff like that. It just makes me laugh.
Yeah, but again, when you're cutting between the drama and the comedy, sometimes this works, and I just feel in this movie doesn't, because I couldn't tell if they were being funny or if they're just being stupid. You know, it felt more like we're just bumbling along. And it could be because they're just trying to make a mockery of these two, historic crooks, right? But yeah, it's weird when you have this so far up the list, and then you have other movies like Butch Cassidy and The Wild Bunch down on the bottom. Yeah. When they're actually way more entertaining, they work with the comedy and the drama.
Butch Cassidy came after this movie.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying.
So this movie set the pattern.
Set the pattern, right? Yeah. And we'll go into it. There's another movie where it's set the precedent, but there's better versions of it. That happens a lot. And this movie, yeah, set the stage, but why is it at the... It's halfway through this list.
I think it's good.
No. I do. Like, even though it set the precedent, I'm kind of, like, bored. You know
sometimes,
what?
Sometimes you get it wrong, and sometimes you got it wrong.
I don't know. I don't think I did, because no one ever goes, oh, Bonnie and Clyde. Like, you don't.
No, I think you're wrong. I think people do mention this, like... Robert Zemeckis' favourite movie of all time, Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, but he can't make good movies anymore, so... He made good movies. But anymore. not as later life.
Disappointing. My hottie hot take for Bonnie and Clyde is that I think Faye Dunaway is top five actresses of all time.
I don't think she's top five, but I think she's very attractive in this movie.
I think she's very attractive. I think she's...
That should not be a barometer.
I just mentioned she's very attractive, right? That's one. Two,
she's very competent. It's not a barometer on whether you're a good actress or not.
True. It helps. She's very competent in this movie. She's very...
She's actually acting.
Maybe it's because Warren Beatty can't act at all. No offense to Warren Beatty, I don't think he's a very good actor.
He's not very good in this.
He's
playing a very complicated character.
He's a very complicated character. We'll go through the Clyde Burrow story. And he was up against Faye Dunaway, who's very good. She's really good.
Yeah.
She was great in Mummy Dearest. She was great in the original Thomas Crown Affair. She also plays the psychiatrist in Thomas Crown Affair, the remake. She's been in so many great movies. She's just really fantastic.
No, she's really good.
She can play the femme fatale. She can play the really messed up person where she played Joan Crawford in Mummy Dearest.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she played a really evil character in Network. Like that.
I know.
And like that character is so hard to pull off because you could have hated her from the start, but you actually sort of like... She was a woman in a man's world.
You're going along with her.
Yeah, and then she pulls
the stunts at the end,
unbelievable. But I just think she's one of... I reckon she's right up there with Katharine Hepburn and Meryl Streep. I reckon she'd be third or fourth on the list of best actresses of all time.
That's great.
She's fantastic. I really enjoy her in this movie.
She's really good.
She does hold the movie together with Gene Hackman, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's start the Pete and Hannah's review, scene breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
We start off with the still photos of the young Bonnie and Clyde, and black and white photos really works. Yeah. I really like it.
They give you a little history.
Give a little history that Clyde's been in jail for 2 years. Bonnie's sort of like bored with her life.
A waitress, yeah.
She's just her room waiting to start her shift and yells down to Clyde, who looks like he's going to steal her mum's car. In the movie, Bonnie and Clyde meet when she catches him stealing her mother's car, but in reality, it is believed that they met when a mutual friend broke her arm and Bonnie was staying with her to act as a caretaker. Clyde happened to come by, pay the friend a visit, discovered Bonnie making hot chocolate in the kitchen. It was claimed that it was love at first sight. That was January 5th, 1930 at Clarence Clay House. The address was in Texas. This is a bit different.
That sounds far more interesting.
Yeah, they met before Clyde went to jail. They're in and out of jail all the time, these two.
Yeah.
But it does not portray that in the movie.
No.
Not portrayed
in the movie. No, not at all.
Clyde is portrayed as a smooth talker to get Bonnie into the car. But Clyde wasn't a noted smooth talker. He was like a really quiet, sort of quiet gentleman.
Which I think Warren Beatty gives off more than smooth talker.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's Warren Beatty's character.
He doesn't give smooth talking. He's giving.
We've got to remember this: the song by Carly Simon, "You're So Vain," is about Warren Beatty.
Yeah,
so he does give that vibe.
He's in his head. He's doing really good.
Bonnie sort of says, "What did you do before you stole cars, and he said,
I'm a bank robber.
And he, to prove that, he goes and robs a convenience store. The convenience guy sort of chases him down, and he has like a code. He doesn't want to shoot anyone or kill anyone. He'll maim him. He gets in the car and he's driving away, and Bonnie is just all over him. And is where, like, Bonnie sort of gets the... She's sort of portrayed as a nymphomaniac, but witnesses at the time, two things. One, Bonnie wasn't that attractive.
Yeah, yep.
And two, she wasn't a nympho, right?
Mm.
These are the things that Arthur Penn changed the script, because what they wanted to do was make her mysterious and sort of desirable.
Yes, of course.
And trying to make her sort of appealing for all the negative stuff that she did. She was heartless.
She
was really heartless. And
that's the times that I tend to enjoy about the character, when she's when she's doesn't care about anyone. And I really like that.
So Clyde stops her advances because I'm not really that kind of guy. I'm not a really love-making kind of guy. There were rumors going around that Clyde was homosexual, but
yeah,
it was not that the case. He was actually severely sexually abused in the jail,
of course,
and he ended up killing someone in jail.
Oh, interesting.
And he got someone to take the rap that was in there for life, and that's how he got out of jail. And so he was sort of scared of that. A sexual being, sort of thing like that. So that's why it was portrayed that way.
And also, you don't show that in a movie.
No.
That doesn't go down well.
No, at all. So Bonnie sort of wants to go home, and then Clyde sort of explains to him, you know, what he's like, and, you know, I love you. Like he's saying, I love you, but I can't give you what you want. I can give you a good time. And Bonnie's like, you know what? That's all I want.
Yeah.
That's what I want. So they go to this house, and he sleeps outside because he's all about making sure that no one's going to come and get him. And so she wakes up. Oh, where are you? Oh, yeah, I'm outside. And then so he starts teaching her how to shoot. So she's sort of like a natural.
Oh.
You know? And then the owner. So you got to remember at this time in the 1930s, like, they're going through the Great Depression. A lot of farmers were going broke. They'd go past. He's packed up and said, no, you mate, you can shoot whatever you want. This is the bank's house. I don't care. And so Clyde says, you know, so sort of like the Robin Hood nature.
Yeah, they definitely give that for the people kind of thing giving. And yeah, that's all right.
And that's what we sort of talked about before. Like the first bank that they tried to rob actually went broke.
Yeah.
So a lot of banks were going broke back then.
There's just a guy in there.
Yeah. So then he tries to rob a convenience store. He gets attacked by a butcher. He ends up having to clock the butcher on the head with a gun.
Yeah, they pick up
gas attendant, and this is played by C.W. Moss. This is played by Michael J. Pollard. They came up with the name of C.W. Moss, which is a fictional conglomeration of the people that were psychics of Bonnie and Clyde. So it wasn't just one. So they had Ralph Foots and William Daniel Jones, which was nicknamed W.D. And he was the gas owned by Clyde's father. Ray Hamilton and Harry Methven. This was later on in the movie, the deal that the Texas Ranger made.
Yeah,
of course. That's sort of like that. There was just some true nature to this, but
they were playing with it. The story.
Butcher fingers Clyde to the Texas Rangers.
Yep.
They make another attempt of robbery. They get a getaway car. It's not in a great parking spot. CW is not great at this sort of thing. They're in the movie theater, and Bonnie's trying to watch the movie, and Clyde is just giving it to CW, you know. Then Clyde sort of tries to get rid of Bonnie, but Bonnie doesn't want to go, wants to stay. Then they have this like weird sort of sex scene, and it doesn't go really well. And they're sort of on the outs. But then Clyde's brother turns up, and then Clyde's brother brings his wife, and his wife's played by Estelle Parsons. Now, I want to talk about this character, because this character was nowhere near what
In the
movie.
Yeah.
So, originally, the real Blanche Boro sort of said, yeah, you can do this story. The original script was pretty much spot on, but Arthur Penn changed it to make Faye Dunaway more beautiful.
Yeah, of course.
Stella Parsons, not as attractive as Faye Dunaway.
Yeah.
In reality, they were both the same age, Bonnie Parker and Barrow. She was not a preacher's daughter. She had married Buck knowing that he was an escaped prisoner and twice divorced. All this was to make Bonnie on the pedestal and...
Yeah, to make... Yeah, I can see that.
The Blanche end up suing Warner Brothers. Yeah. And end up...
Because she looks stupid. Yeah.
She does. It just doesn't
work. She becomes such an annoying character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually talked to Blanche Barrow. She was one of the surviving people when the movie came out in 1967. And the film made her look like a screaming horse's ass, as she said. Which, that's what they did on purpose, to make Bonnie look cool.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So when the first shootout happened, she's like screaming and sort of giving away their position. That actually never happened. She was actually giving them guns to help them.
Yeah, she was just as cool.
Yeah. Yeah, she was part of the game. The first robbery that they do with the brother, and you get this sort of like jumping over the teller windows and all that, that's actually not from Clyde Burrow.
Yeah.
That's not from Buck and Clyde. That was stolen from another robber. You know the robbery where they said, oh, I don't steal from the farmer?
Yeah.
That's not actually Clyde. It was actually a famous robber called Pretty Boy Pink Floyd. That was his
character. Oh.
So they were just stealing.
Stealing to make robbers. To make, pad it out, to make it more interesting.
In this part of the movie, you sort of captured what the media. So the media stuff was true that.
Yeah, no, the pictures and stuff.
But the picture, they didn't find that until after they died.
Yeah.
So that wasn't printed in the paper.
The one with the cop.
That didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
Also, what didn't happen was the her posing for the guns and all that. That didn't happen until after the poetry. Didn't happen until after the mother gave the poetry.
Yeah.
But they were really well known.
That would be the most interesting thing happening at the time.
Gene Wilder enters the picture and they steal his car and then sort of he runs them down and they come back. That actually happened. But it was a sort of conglomerate of characters there. The sequence is based on kidnappings of Undertaker H.D. Darby and then the acquaintance of Sophia Stone near Louisiana in the late afternoon of April 27th, 1933. They had stolen the car, but they released them several hours later. According to Darby, which is the character that Gene Wilder's characters are loosely based on, when one of the Barrow gang asked what he did for a living, he replied, Undertaker and Bonnie Parker allegedly had said to him, in a sarcastic tone, you may work on me someday. And the following year, H.D. Darby was one of the people that...
Really? That's haunting.
It's not confirmed.
No, that'd be haunting.
Bonnie misses her mother. They go and meet her. Clyde arranges the meet-up. Mother tells Bonnie and Clyde to keep running. You're never going to be able to come back home.
Yeah.
Bonnie struggles with depression.
Yeah, you can tell.
You definitely tell. They go through like a chat sort of thing like that. Bonnie's not happy with all the other people that are there. She does not like
the other couple,
Buck being there. No. But Buck, Clyde tells Bonnie... Buck's my brother. He's family.
Yeah.
He's got a wife, you know. She doesn't like splitting up the money as well. No. They end up getting into a massive shootout with Tommy guns and grenades and, you know, I don't know how real that is, but it looked well shot, you know, for 1967. It was unbelievable. Buck ends up getting shot in the head. They get surrounded. It's written in the paper that Buck... was left there to die, but CW has said that, you know, he was dead.
Yeah.
So it was sort of written in the paper to make Clyde the bad guy. They also pinned other robberies on them when they didn't.
Oh, they weren't even there.
So all that stuff like that. So all that stuff happened in the press back then. They go to CW's dad's place. And at this time, the Hammer, the Texas Ranger, he is chasing them down. He's the one that they sort of humiliate in that picture. That never happened, right?
No. They so just needed a villain, he, like a obstacle for these characters.
He ends up, the family ends up suing, right, Warner Brothers, because the film is considered to stray away from the fact in the portrayal of Frank Hammer as a vengeful bungler who was captured and humiliated and released by Bonnie and Clyde. Hammer was actually a decorated Texas Ranger, and he was coaxed out of semi-retirement to hunt the couple down. He had never met them before, and his posse ambushed them and killed them near Louisiana in 1934.
Yeah.
Hammer's widow and son sued the movie producers for defamation of character over his portrayal, and they obtained an out-of-court settlement in 1971.
Ooh.
So, they actually did a movie recently with Woody Harrelson and Kevin Costner. Was on Netflix, and it was about the two Texas Rangers that organized the posse to go after Bonnie and Clyde.
Ooh.
They did never. So at the end of this movie, you see CW's father set up Bonnie and Clyde. That sort of happened, but they sort of put them into a spot where the police were all ready to go and to shoot them in the car, right? That he never got out. So in this movie, they get out. There's a slow motion where they try to sort of meet up together to hold each other.
Yeah, they're looking at each other.
That never happened.
Yeah.
There was also a rumor that Bonnie died with a sandwich in her mouth, but that didn't happen either. No. So there was all, like, there's sort of like...
Playing with it.
Yeah, because like these people were sort of larger than life. Sort of character.
Yeah, and you want to be like the cool person with the information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there's another rumor sort of going around that end scene, right, was based on the Zapruder film. But the Zapruder film didn't come out after this movie was released. Mm-hmm. So they're saying, did Arthur Penn see the Zapruder film with Time Life? So, like, as we get on in the internet era... You get a lot of these stories, and it's really hard to pick what's through real. What's real and what's not. In the director's commentary, there's no... the reason why they shot it in slow-mo wasn't because it's a Zapruder film, but there's rumors going around online that was the reason why.
Wow, okay.
And because there's, like, accidentally or on purpose, there's, like, a chunk of Clyde's brain that falls away. They were saying that was sort of like the back and to the left.
Okay.
JFK. I'm just research. So just throw that out there. Reasons to see this movie, Faye Dunaway.
Yeah, Faye Dunaway. These are actors.
Yeah. Like, I could see this movie being remade.
No, but I would say it would be worked. There'd be a lot of working on it.
I could see this being made into like a
You could see it.
A 6-hour...
Miniseries.
Miniseries on Netflix. You could definitely see it.
Yeah, I don't know why they haven't done it. Yeah. I think it might be something to do with...
They did that movie.
Yeah.
You know, with the Woody Harrelson and...
Yeah.
I think this is right for the pickings. I really do. Reason not to... Yeah, I can see where Hannah's coming through, that the comedy didn't work.
It's boring.
I liked it. I can see why definitely that Hannah would say that.
But me and Jack Warner.
You and Jack Warner. One take, Hannah. You're always a one take.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Do you reckon, like, okay, so you're dead against this movie. Do you reckon it actually deserves to be on the list?
Personally, no.
Wow.
See, but you're saying it was a cultural movement.
I could definitely see, this is, well, this gets sure, into the, but this it, gets into, we get, without this movie, bottom. I don't think we get Godfather.
Okay, I see what you're saying. You're saying, like, this breaks the mold. Yeah.
First,
and I understand that.
There was blood in this movie. There was a lot of going on here.
I feel like we'll get another movie that was like this. But
yeah, I think it's perfect in the 90s.
The reason, another thing why I think this movie did well was because Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
It's just the IP of the names. Yeah. Like, people know the names and then we're going to see it. Bonnie and Clyde doesn't work nowadays because they're just not as
Bonnie
popular.
And Clyde is just like Doc Holliday. Like, it's just well
you
known.
You just know
it's
that
Wyatt
name.
Earp. It's
You
it's
know always, that name. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, that's where this movie helped it do well as well.
Well, I think it deserves to be on the list, and I think it's. I reckon it's a in the 90 to 100 range. I think it's perfect. I think it's one of those movies that needs to be on the list. But Hannah, she doesn't.
Want I don't
to
care.
Be on, that's fine. Would you buy it on Blu-ray? Man, 4K restoration. This one needs.
Oh, this one.
Yeah, I'd love a 4K restoration of this movie.
Fade and away.
Oh, she's so attractive.
Yeah, she's so good in this.
She's so good in this. She's great. She's very good in this.
No, she's very good. She's my favorite part of this movie. She's
very good in this. Would you watch this movie again?
No.
I've watched this movie like multiple times. It's one of my faves. I really liked it.
I get that. No.
Yeah. For me, it's a banger. For you, it is. No. What's your rating for this one?
I played on my phone.
Wow.
Yeah, which love I did. It. So.
Sometimes we just don't agree. Like, most of the AFI, we've definitely agreed. Like, last week, I thought we weren't going to agree about Midnight Cowboy.
I thought it was good.
But it was really, like, I'm glad.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I enjoyed Midnight Cowboy more than this movie.
I know. Wow.
Could be because I like...
We wouldn't have got Midnight Cowboy without this movie.
Okay, you're saying that. I'm just saying it.
That is it for today's show. Let us know in the comments below if you agree more with Hannah with a 2-star rating or me with a 4-star rating. We'll find out in the comments below. Next week, we get the 1930s version of King Kong.
Oh.
Movie number 41. Don't forget to leave feedback, good or bad, on anything that we do on the channel. Tomorrow, we catch up for What's Next, the show where we help you figure out what to watch next. That is my lovely co-host, Hannah. Long live cinema. And until we meet again, it's bye for now.
Bye.